Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah Sanato.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 225. I'm Josiah Sat4, the villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? I'm back one more week. So I have a lot to go through, a lot of news, so just in general, a lot of to talk about as far as reviews as well. And maybe got a few stories as well. All right, first off, I'm going to start what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 125, we entitled hashtag Missing in Action. So trip out on this one. The Lone Wolf hits NFL talk, hashtag football talk, props and predictions for the Super Bowl. Typical what the fuck news. Okay, so let me stop there first of all. The Lone Wolf. So I'm assuming this was an episode, obviously, solo. So might have been one of those that Adam couldn't make, and I'm still like, dude, I had some really sick reviews, like, and even the news that I have is kind of time sensitive all the time, so I don't think Adam was able to make it that day, is what I'm assuming. It happened from time to time. I didn't record many by myself, so if you guys want to compare what I sounded like back then by myself, I mean, 125 episodes we had recorded, so I was definitely comfortable on the mics, I know that. Minus these 5 months to decide if I wanted to get it going together, and the whole so many running moving parts was like, fuck, is this something I want to do, or is it something I can do completely by myself? And I think I'm doing okay so far. I think I am. It's a lot of work, definitely, but yeah, so solo one. Typical what the fuck news, Texas man falls into a hole on way to buy a lottery ticket, so probably wasn't feeling so lucky on that. We hit Jesus shit list. Missouri mom pleads guilty to killing family with antifreeze. We hit three inmates escape local prison. So there you go. We got no signs of shooting found at Naval Medical Center in San Diego. I believe we spoke about that, about it was a fake shooting, which was weird, or just somebody called in a false report, something like that. We hit cool news. FDA approved medical syringe fills bullet wounds in 20 seconds. Now, for, you know, 911 calls for police officers, I think that's kind of interesting. Someone called 911. There you go. Over kids playing basketball. After kids playing basketball. And cop responds with, and then I left it blank. So I guess I left it open-ended for Adam. Like, what were the kids doing? Or, like, what did the cop do? And the answer was pretty much he got out of his patrol car and these kids are having fun. So this cop legit plays basketball with these kids. He notices they're playing basketball. The neighbor fucking complained about kids having fucking fun outside. The cop saw it. He's like, these kids aren't doing anything. He decides to play basketball with them. That was pretty cool. We hit comic talk, lots of Marvel, DC, Star Wars movies, and TV talk. With comic news, Marvel Poe Dameron series, Civil War 2 introduction. Steve Rogers is back as Captain America. So Falcon took control of Captain America for a while. We hit Marvel's Dead No More Thoughts. We hit DC's Comics top writer to leave Batman to work on Detective Comics. We hit comic reviews, Books of the Week, Robin War number 2, Secret Wars number 9, Tokyo Ghost number 5, which Rick Remender was writing. That's a great fucking title. I think it ended like a 12-issue arc, maybe 13-issue arc. I still have an interview that I need to play from him that is fucking dope and down to earth that I'm going to toss on soon. And finally, I hit Uncanny Inhumans number 4. All right, guys, I'm just going to start off with the story. Oh my fucking goodness. The first 20 minutes of editing this episode already is fucking hilarious. Everything that's on the cutting room floor is insanely stupid and funny. It's been a rough one recording already, just so many tweaks and whatnot. But anyways, in saying that, I just want to go into deep dives and rabbit holes real quick. RJ, thanks for joining me last week. It was nice for us both to have, a chance to thank our listeners that we are getting little by little and that are interacting. We don't get to do that all the time on deep dives and rabbit holes. It's not time sensitive, so we don't really worry about it. That's the beauty of that, and it's really cool. It's its own separate thing, which it's still fun to do, but again, that we got a chance to thank our listeners. We loved the fuck out of that. And RG, again, thanks for joining me for my 4/5 years. I still don't know how old this baby is, so I appreciate it. All right, let's see. Speaking of deep dives and rabbit holes, I'm going to pull the curtains behind just a little bit so you guys can take a look behind. As far as the deep dives and rabbit holes aspect of it, RG and I have two banked up in the chamber at all times. We're going to record two more tomorrow, so it should put us up to four. At one point, we should be up four at any given time. Now, that's a month's worth of podcast, technically, if we're going to release an episode a week. So technically, that's great. The thing in my life is working so much both jobs. It feels like each day runs into each other. So the fact that RG is kind of realizing and seeing that too, when we talk about or drop an episode of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, because again, we're so far ahead of the game while we're recording, we're technically 2 weeks ahead of schedule. So we're making references that only we're aware of. And by the time we drop an episode 2 weeks later, when somebody hits me up like, hey, that was funny, this, this, and that. And I'm like, I didn't. I'm like, I spoke about that a long time ago. It's like, nah, dude, I just listened to the podcast the one you just dropped yesterday. I'm like, oh, fuck me. So we're recording in the future, but coming back to the past to bring you guys what we have. So it's a weird way to look at it. It's like we're kind of time travelers. So he's my fucking Doc and I'm fucking Marty. Well, I'm older, I guess I'm fucking Doc and he's fucking Marty. But yeah, dude, so it's a trip that we experience and feel that. Like, for him to know a little bit how I feel on that aspect of it is interesting. And the editing process can fucking suck for both. Again, the first 5 minutes of this one, I was maybe 20 minutes is on the floor. Like, legit. It's funny. It's terrible. I replay it and I'm like, ooh, I wish I could keep this. But just to keep it solid and fluid, of course, it had to get axed. So that's all I got. I mean, as far as putting out two podcasts, it's not hard to juggle. Once I get them down, it's like, okay, now which sequential orders do we want to put them in? What do we want to drop at what time? Those aren't time sensitive at all. So we're cool to drop those at any time. It's just the time I release them again, it feels like we're in the future. So thanks for bearing with me on that one. Bullet point real quick is I'm going to hit the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League 2018 contestants. How many leagues I'm going to do this year? I want to do no more than three leagues this year. And that's legit a great amount of leagues. And that's literally one, two, three leagues I have already. So I have one for The Office. I have the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League. And I also have one from my buddy Paul. Really cool guy. Met him through the podcast. He started listening and started hitting me up. And I had missed fucking Paul. Dude, I haven't spoken to him in a while. And, you know, we got to the point where it's like, all our listeners, like, I'll talk to you guys, you know. If you guys need to chat on the side. And Paul had hit me up. He was writing articles for a website at the time. And Paul Stevenson. And he hit me up. He's like, hey, dude, I know your work, you know, you're busy at the office or whatever. But I know you're a writer. Can you edit this article for me? So I would literally legit edit his articles. And I'm like, dude, this is a good article. Just ask this, 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 and that. I'm like, or sometimes just like, dude, there was nothing to edit. Just toss it up. Like, it's good to go. So I was his go-to guy for that. So the fact that, you know, our listeners are asking me and that I'm able to do small things like that is cool. And even the fact that he got my number eventually, like Eric has my number, Lupa has my number. A bunch of you guys honestly have my fucking number. And the people I've met at conventions, AC fucking has my number. So a lot of you guys, you know, again, you guys know how personable I am anyways. So going back to Paul, dude, he hits me up randomly out of the blue. He's like, hey, dude, I just want to know if you're still interested in our fantasy football league. And I'm like, you know what, dude, it's a two quarterback league. It's honestly one of the funner leagues that I'm always involved in or that have been the past 3 years, possibly. Actually, 3 years, I believe, by now. And to catch up with him and, we, you know, no conversation, although I do need to actually call him and see how he's doing, but just conversation back and forth, like, hey, dude, I miss you, you know, how's the family, how's everything in life treating you? And the only way we catch up is either Facebook or Instagram, which is just like chatting here and there. But again, such a down-to-earth guy. I love the fuck out of it, and thinking about it, I'm like, fuck, I need to get on top of this Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League. So to our listeners, I think we have like six guys in there right now. I think we have six more spots. So if you guys want a link, let me know. I'll shoot it to you. If you guys have never played fantasy football before, definitely try it with us. We'll help you through it. We'll help you through the season. Everyone's cool as fuck in our league. They're all listeners and friends of the show that we've had on the show before. So, you know, Sadie hit me up. Are we going to do this again? David hit me up. Bobby hit me up. So we have people in it. RG's going to jump in. I believe the 2OC guys are going to jump in. So it's friends of the podcast and listeners. So the fact that we can have you guys do something like this is really dope. It's always fun for us just because we talk so much shit and have so much fun in there. And again, winner gets a guest host spot on the Comic Syndicate. And I'm going to hook up with David too because we've been talking. And yeah, we got to get together for a bunch of things anyways. All right, guys. That's all I have for Behind the Curtains, future talk. I mean, we're talking about it right now, but we're going to drop it in the future, and by the time you guys hear it, is our past. So we're living in an odd fucking world as far as the podcast goes. I'm going to end it there because I have a lot of comic talk to go through, a lot of comic news, and I think my reviews are sick this week. So please stick around for those, especially if you like Red Hood, Jason Todd. All right, guys, I will be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, I'm back with some fucking comic talk. Fuck my fucking life. This is bullshit, dude, of all fucking nights with the fucking issues with recording and editing. This is the night people want to fucking call me of all fucking nights, of all fucking days. And it keeps interrupting fucking me recording, and it's pissing me off. I want to strangle someone so fucking bad right now. But sorry, I had to get that out of my system. All right, guys, first I'm going to hit Guy Pearce joins Bloodshot, replaces Michael Sheen in key role. So it's in a Valiant comic title, I guess, publisher company. So you got Marvel, you have DC, you have Image Comics, you have Top Cow, I guess. Old defunct one, kind of. And then you have Valiant, you have IDW, who does Transformer, stuff like that. So it's a different publisher. And I love Guy Pearce, dude. The only thing I don't like about this Bloodshot movie is it's Vin Diesel. I'm not a Vin Diesel fan. To our old listeners and audience members, him and Paul Walker and the whole fucking Fast franchise can eat a fucking dick. And whoops. Oh, yeah, fuck him anyways. They suck, my opinion. So next one is going to be Hasbro is planning a Power Rangers movie sequel. Never saw the first part. I heard a lot of good things about it. So if it did well, I guess why not? It is pop culture, so fuck it, I guess. Next one's going to be Academy. Oh, fuck me, dude. Movie talk. Academy to add Oscar category specifically for popular films. That's the one I wanted to start off with, actually. How do you guys feel about this? I want to talk to the boys from the 2OC, Alan and Anton, dude. Like, we got to find some way to get each other back on the show again. Or if I could have you guys on this podcast for once would actually be kind of fucking dope, too. And speaking of you two cats, I guess, Alan, I sent you a message earlier today if you wanted to join me for something. This next piece of news is going to be Transformers the Movie returns to theaters for one night only. Phalum Events, Hasbro Studios, and Shout Factory have come together to bring fans the original Transformers Generation 1 experience on Thursday, September 27th. Transformers the Movie will be coming to theaters nationwide for a single night. The classic film has been remastered and transferred into high definition to make it the most exciting movie-going experience of a lifetime. So, to watch that movie, I saw it originally when I was fucking 5, 6 years old in San Antonio, Texas, across the street from the Alamo, and I saw it with my older brothers, and it was a double feature with a King Kong Returns or King Kong Lives along with this fucking movie, and to see Cartoon Death was fucking dope. Alan, let's get your brother to go with this. Let's do it, dude. So I'm stoked about that. Next one's going to be Disney streaming service to include Captain Marvel and Avengers 4 at launch. The Disney streaming service may cost less than Netflix. And then Iger revealed the streaming service's costs will reflect its quote-unquote lower volume of content. So there you go. They don't have so much, which suggests it could be a cheaper alternative to Netflix. How much would you guys pay for that? If Netflix is, what, $9.99? All the content you can get on Netflix alone already. If it was a cheaper tier, it's Marvel. It's Mickey Mouse. It's not going to be a cheaper tier. I think their cheaper tier would be $7.99 because we don't have that much content. But to have access to so much Disney in your life, how much would you fucking pay? I would like to pay like $3.99. That's my cheap tier. But then again, I just don't watch fucking TV. Lady and the Tramp, Sword in the Stone remakes head to Disney streaming service as well. So on top of that, Disney streaming service won't include any R-rated movies on top of that. Which, I guess now, the acquisition of Fox. Yeah, Deadpool, I guess I can see why it wouldn't. They wouldn't want to put it on. They want to make it as kid and family friendly as they can. So it doesn't quite fit their fucking world. And then speaking of Sony, another company, Sony has another weirder name for its Spider-Verse movie. So the Venom movie that's going to come out, which I'm still going to watch. I love the fuck out of Venom. Give me fucking villains all fucking day. And rehabilitated villains I kind of like too. You know, like they walk the line of like, okay, I'm going to kill. But, you know, Venom is just a classic character. And I love the fuck out of Eddie Brock. The only thing I hate out of Eddie Brock is not a lot. Minus Tom Hardy playing him. I don't like the accent he's using. I know it's not the best New York City accent. I know it's just a lot of bad. And it's not even a Bane impression he's giving. It's just he's not sure of himself. And he sounds scared and rattled. He sounds like a fucking pussy. He sounds like a little bitch. And I don't like that. Like, that's not Eddie Brock. That's where I'm coming from on that aspect. Am I still going to watch it? I'm going to watch the fuck out of it. I'm going to be there opening weekend, most likely. Just because I have to support. And if it sucks, I want to fucking totally bash it. And speaking of, Sony's Spider-Verse plans include Night Watch and Jackpot. So these are weird pieces of news. So Sony is shelving its Silver and Black Spider-Man spinoff, which is going to be Black Cat and a Silver Sable movie. And the only character anyone might know is Black Cat. And I don't know if that's something they should pull off. But here's another one that was announced the other day is that I don't think I got to last week was the movie of Kraven the Hunter is going to happen. Excellent Spider-Man villain. And those are great stories that were written about this fucking Hunter straight up. And he's a badass. And even in his alien symbiote black costume, like Spider-Man has to resort to that costume to defeat him, and it, you know, you have to, it has to hit the fan in order for Spider-Man to ever do that. So anyway, so that's interesting. Hollywood still wants James Gunn, even if Disney doesn't. So the news came out today, honestly, like, you know, everyone's on board, the cast and crew members of Guardians of the Galaxy are like, you know, please don't let go of him. We need him to continue his trilogy. Like, let him finish his vision. We understand, blah, 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 blah. And Disney said today, no, fuck it. Today's the 16th of August. And they said, you know what? No, he's axed completely. We're not having him back. Best possible thing is at least keep his fucking script, at least. Under someone else's vision, hopefully it would be his vision, at least, because you can feel his tone and resonance in the other movies already. He already set this fucking tone. All right, let's see. Speaking of the Kraven movie, I'm going to go back to that real quick. I have these out of order. Sony's Kraven the Hunter movie reportedly hires Equalizer writer. Give me more shit like that. I love the fuck out of the Equalizer, so if you're going to give me a well-written story about a dope-ass villain, I'm going to give more of a shit about him. And I love the fuck out of villains already anyways, going back to that. But yeah, take me more for that. Last one I'm going to hit is all 20 Marvel Cinematic Universe films are returning to theaters for 10th Anniversary Festival. All 20 Marvel Studios releases are coming to IMAX theaters across North America, some for the first time, for the 10th Anniversary Film Festival. I have a picture of all the movies that are going to be out, and different days are going to have different movies, and not in the sequential orders they should be in, but choose a fucking day that is your favorite. And that's pretty dope, dude. Like, I think I saw Civil War playing with fucking Winter Soldier, and I love the fuck out of Winter Soldier. So choose your poison, I guess. Black Panther with Homecoming, like, type of deal. Thor Ragnarok with fucking Black Panther back-to-back is kind of cool, or would be dope to watch, like, in the movie theater again. And that's all I got for Marvel. I got DC rumor, Joker origin movie, may target R rating. I love DC Extended Universe. The Batman to begin filming in spring 2019 with Ben Affleck now producing. So it's still up in the air of whether he's going to be back as Batman. Again, he's a good Batman. Well, they wrote Batman terrible. He's a great Bruce Wayne. He's a great Batman. He does a lot of uncharacteristically odd things for Batman, like kill people. But besides that, he does really well. He's not the worst thing about those things. Jason Momoa, my fucking homeboy, is terrible. Just don't tell him I say that, because fucking we're going to grab some beers later tonight. Mark Maron is in talks for Joker origin movie. Everyone and their mother is involved in that. Anyways, that's all I got for DC Talk. I'm going to hit my reviews real quick. I love the fuck out of these. Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 23. Scott Lobdell, Trevor Harrison, Ryan Wynn. It starts off with Red Hood at a cemetery. And then reading a letter from Faye, a woman he knows that runs an old boys' home where Jason Todd grew up in. So now it goes in depth in her writing to Jason, apologizing to him straight up for keeping 6 letters from him that happened to be left to him by his father. So as he goes into the first letter, it's an apology on several accounts. His dad, like, his dad never spoke to Jason or just was there for Jason as a kid, but also to warn him. So not wanting a Jason, like, to end up where he is now. And then we go into his story. Also secrets that he's hid from Jason. That, you know, he used to be a big time drug dealer. He finally ended up selling to a woman that eventually would become Jason Todd's mother. Now, putting it in this letter he's writing to Jason, his son, as, you know, angels aren't supposed to be with devils type of deal. That, you know, he tells him we were kids before we became the worst parents in the world. And then as we see a young Jason under a table with his dog, like, freaked out, and in the background, you kind of see, like, they're arguing, they're fighting. And that's how the first letter ends. He's like, okay, well, that's lights out here, kid. I'll finish up tomorrow. Next letter, he continues on, and now he tells Jason a story about him and his mother's relationship and how her parents disapproved of the relationship, even though now he was a retired drug dealer. You know, of course, everyone's going to have those feelings about people where by now she's made her choice. And he says, she did something nobody ever did in my life. She chose me. So the letter continues on going on, and he finally found out she was pregnant. Let me go back to, I guess, her saying that to him, or him saying that to Jason in this letter. Like, these panels we see, like, she comes from money. And even though he's a retired drug dealer, they're like, no, we don't want you guys together. And she's like, well, fuck you, fuck your money. I'm in love with this fucking dude. So anyways, continues on. And how we finally find out that she's pregnant. And it's a sad panel of her lying on the floor, passed out. And you're like, oh, fuck. Like, is she a druggie? And how did this turn out? Him thinking, you know, like she had OD'd straight up is what it looked like. And then now it goes into the birth room, how Jason Todd was born, and how his mom never kicked fucking drugs at all. She was doing drugs the whole time. So now if his life wasn't terrible enough already, we get more background from Jason Todd, and like, he was a fucking drug baby straight up, dude, like, poor fucking kid. And how it looks, the way he writes these letters down, like, they really tried to make things work out. And, but also being real with Jason with the weight of it all. Like, dude, we had issues and complications with you, and it took its toll on us, and you were expensive, and we didn't know what we were doing because we were fucking kids. And it sucks, the whole weight, again, of everything. Then he tells the story of what happened to Jason as a child, like, almost dying. Again, he's this drug fucking baby, and he's always had complications and issues, and we see him, he's got to be like 7 or 8 on a hospital gurney. And then how it also affected things like, the medicine, the therapy that Jason would need, which caused his dad to pick up another job. And he didn't want to go back to selling. So he honestly straight up became a henchman. And him taking a fall for the Penguin eventually, like working for all the henchmen and finally working for him. And the letter continues on. He says, "Kid, I heard about your mom today. I'm so sorry. You don't get it now. When do you see Love Alone Don't Fix Anything? Jason, this is my last letter for a while. Maybe ever. I made a deal today. I agreed to be some scientific pincushion. They agreed to let me out early. If I live. Crazy? Absolutely. Someday, God willing, you'll have a son. Then you'll know what it's like to love him so much you'll do anything to be with your boy again. I'll see you soon. Love, Dad." So that's the way it essentially ends. Final pages are Red Hood now in a cemetery and feeling the guilt and remorse, you know, over his mom and even, like, his dad. Like, shit, like, things are making more sense. Like, these letters have been kept from me my whole life. How would I have ended up? Would it have changed you as a person, him as a person, anyone as a person? And as this goes down, we see Penguin in the background as he learns something about Jason Todd. He's like, okay, well, whose grave is he at? And he's like, okay, this is putting two and two together type of deal. Next one I'm going to hit, and I love when I'm able to do this, read a batch, and then just fucking attack. Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 24, against Scott Liddell, Dexter Soy, and Allison Borges. Veronica Gandini is the inker. And now we have B, so Bizarro, watching the movie on what the crew made for him. So Artemis and Jason Todd then jumps into the mission now at Gotham Pier, with the Penguin now opening a boardwalk. As he begins making a speech, Red Hood gets straight to work and blows up the pier, making sure, of course, not to harm any civilians, but he takes out the Penguin's men pretty quick as well. Then he kicks Penguin in the face, now asking him to stand, or he's going to kill him at where he kneels, as he's kneeled. Then jumps on to some panels of Artemis. Fucking love that. Artemis now trying to enter their headquarters, so back and forth panels. But Bizarro's fail-safes are now going off, keeping her out. These are his homeboys, his crew. Because of Bizarro's regression, quote-unquote, now, and I've had reviews in the past where essentially Bizarro is having or has had withdrawals because he was taking a serum that was making him smart, and so for him to revert back, his regression again is interesting. So now it jumps back to pages of Jason Todd and Penguin, where Jason finally reveals, or Red Hood finally reveals his identity by taking off his mask to prove a point. He's angry and he just wants revenge now, and you get it. Like, prior issue, you understand it. But in revealing his identity, Penguin kind of puts two and two together again, and then says that he's not only revealed his own identity, but also Batman's, because of his association. Penguin says, "Oh, I'm sorry." Jason says, "Do you know how sick I am of this merry-go-round, this catch and release? I didn't come here to listen to you say you're sorry, to hear you beg for your life. I'm not going to arrest you just so some corrupt judge lets you walk out of jail an hour earlier. I'm here to end this tonight. I'm here to end you." Penguin answers, "Put your gun away. No one here believes you have the stones to pull the trigger." And then it goes into, like, inner monologue. Jason's like, "On the day I was born, my father swore I would be a damned prince of Gotham. Now, I am." And Dexter Soy's art is amazing. Pull up Dexter Soy, S-O-Y, and then Red Hood and the Outlaws. And you guys can see how beautiful his art is. Then we get this page. It's like a four-panel page as he's saying this. And then we just see one giant panel that just says, blam. So after especially promising Batman, Bruce, that he wouldn't kill anymore because of their quote-unquote code. And I'll go into the code in a bit. So now we goes back, jumping now to Artemis is able to break into their headquarters. Finally, we see some dope panels of cops now after Hood. So final back and forth. And then he stole a cop motorcycle. And then asking Artemis and Bizarro for help, knowing he's fucked up. So the blam was pretty much him point blank range shooting the Penguin. We get some odd things from the footage that is out there because, again, he's opening the pier, so they had news crews there. So they literally have footage of Jason Todd, Red Hood, point blank shooting, almost attempted murder, the Penguin. So it's really cool because then we see at the end, like, how much he screwed up. And the last few pages are just beautiful. Again, put in Dexter Soy, Batman even. And Bruce in his Batcave without his fucking cowl. So he's in his suit with just no, you know, mask. Bruce watching the news footage. Pissed the fuck off. And Alfred telling him, Dick and Tim are on the phone asking what they should do. So Dick Grayson and Tim Drake and, you know, the other two Robins. And they're like, fuck, dude, like, Batman, what the fuck do you want us to do about this? And then Batman says straight up, tell them to stand down. I'll bring him in. But fucking pissed off. So the one person you don't want to piss off, of course, Batman. I'm going to continue on this one real quick, and this is going to be the last review, so hopefully this is actually a short episode this week. Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 25, starting or ending. Again, Scott Lobdell, Dexter Soy, Trevor Harrison, Ryan Wynn, Phil Hester, and Andre Parks are the artists. So it's a bunch of back and forth. Anything that's going on concurrently right now is going to be Dexter Soy. Anything that's in the past, like past memories, is going to be these other artists, which works still well with the story. This one starts off with a young Jason Todd asleep underwater. And it's like, what the fuck is this? And it's recounting an old mission with Batman while he was Robin. So he's the second Robin. As Alfred tries to talk him through his situation, he's still like in this sunken, crashed car upside down. Then we finally see, we understand, like, it's not him. And we hear someone talking to Jason Todd, Robin, as a young Robin. And it's like, wake up, your vitals. It's like, you need to come to the surface right now. And we see that the person that's inside this upside down car, crashed car, is fucking Batman. And this is fucking dope. And just interesting. Alfred's in Robin's ear. He's like, your readings, you're descending. Master Robin, you can't do this. Just rise to the surface. Like, dude, you need to get the fuck out of there. He's like, you're only human. You are no good to Batman if you're dead. And he's like, Master Robin. And we see him go to work and risking himself to go save his mentor. His boy, essentially, is what it is. And really cool. Sorry about that, guys. I'm all over the fucking place today. Giving now Batman pulling him up to shore and giving Batman CPR as he finally comes through. And we get Robin saying, haha, you thought you could get rid of me that easy, huh? And Batman says, if you ever leave, it'll be your choice, not mine. Then it starts off now, current days. Starts off now with Red Hood cloaked from the prior issue. So hiding from the cops. And then jumps to some quick panels now of Artemis and B still trying to find the fail safe for their headquarters, which is still pretty cool. And then goes back to Jason Todd as he makes a jump for the headquarters. Like, it's cloaked, the headquarters, but their headquarters is a floating city type of deal that Bizarro built when he was smart. It sounds terrible to say. And he's like, fuck, okay, keeps blinking in and out. And Jason Todd, he's like, okay, fuck it, that's the last place I remember this building being at. I need to fucking make a jump for it just to make it on board to his headquarters. And very cool now, as he fucking takes off and jumps, he gets nabbed straight up by Batman. Pulls him down. And Batman goes straight to work on fucking Jason. Kicks him fucking right off the bat and fucking cracks his fucking helmet. And he just starts kicking Jason's ass. Batman says, I was a fool forever believing in you. And it's really cool. He's getting his ass kicked. Red Hood says, you are a character. I've never seen you hit the Joker that hard, and you hate him. Batman gets pissed. No more jokes, no more excuses, no more Red Hood. They had made a deal. Yes, you are a part of the family. Your methods are wrong. The code is, we don't kill. I will let you work in Gotham, but you have to promise me no killing. That was always the line. That's the fucking code Batman fucking has. And yeah, dude, it's really cool that Jason, you know, again, how would you guys take it? Like, you've read these things after so long. now learning about Jason Todd a little bit more, his background, and he never had it easy, and he has more issues that are more complex than a normal fucking person. I mean, and you got, you're part of the Bat family, like, you're not fucking normal. You are fucking different. So just left the fuck out of it. He's now just taking his beating from Batman now and just not fighting back at all till finally Bizarro shows up to help out his friend. To take him back to the headquarters. And now we see a beat up Jason fucking Todd, bloodied the fuck up. He took the beating and gave nothing out at Batman minus hopefully a guilt trip. Like, fuck, I don't believe in your fucking ethics anymore. Like, your bullshit's not fucking working. Let's do something about it. You want us to do something about it. I'm going to take the step you don't have the balls to do. That's always Red Hood, and I always love that fucking aspect of it. Not the right way to go. So now we see the three of them back in their headquarters. And this issue is fucking pretty dope. Like, Bizarro finally has an idea to help out. Where they have this portal room. Bizarro starts taking apart the fucking facility. And he pulls the whole facility into this portal. And Jason's like, okay, I'm going with you. And Artemis is like, no, I got to take care of this. And she grabs Jason Todd. She kisses him straight up and tosses him out so he doesn't get sucked in this void. Like, she cares about him that much. And we don't even know what's happening to them. So she tosses him out literally where their building is, Flying City. He lands on a fucking nearby rooftop. As soon as he lands, he's like, he sees his friends fucking blip away. Like, they fucking disappear. And as you see him holding it out his hand, like, fuck, I hope they're okay. And then you get panels, and he's like, fuck, you're behind me, aren't you? And we see Jason Todd finally try to attack Batman. And he just gets his ass kicked some fucking more. And it's fucked up. And he beats the shit out of Jason Todd. And grabs his chest and rips off his Red Hood insignia chest plate emblem. Like, no, you're fucking done. Like, we're done. Like, Jason Todd has always been the bastard fucking child, the bastard Robin. Which, honestly, he's the Robin that the Joker murdered. Like, beat him with a fucking crowbar and blew him fucking up in Death in the Family. Way back when, I want to say in the mid-90s, early 90s. Great story, fucked up story, but Joker beat the shit out of him. And he's always felt like, how can you let these assholes run fucking free? And Joker too, like, he killed me. And you don't fucking do a damn thing about it. You kind of get where he's coming from. So now he's fucking beat up. And funny, because Batman's about to walk away. He steps into something. And you can never pull one over on fucking Batman. But and, okay, Batman even says before, he's like, if you ever leave, it'll be your choice, not mine. So essentially telling him what he told him from the beginning of the issue. Then we see an odd panel again of something happening to Batman. Batman reaching for his fucking, his utility belt and getting zapped by an arrow. And it's, the smoke that fucking clears is, knocks out Batman. Red Hood's out already. And it's just really cool to see, honestly, an odd but dope fucking panel, and it's literally his best friend, Arsenal, there to fucking pick him up. And it's just dope how that play on words, the way I said it, is just dope to see the panel in itself means that much more, because when you're down, you get kicked out of your family, your friends are always there to fucking pick you up. And Arsenal is legit his best friend, so they've been split up for so long to see that, you know, cool. It emphasizes more, like, as a character on the page, the panel, the way it was written, just means more. So now Jason Todd is a bastard again, and he's not part of the Bat family, which is going to be interesting now, because it's going to leave him, he's still Red Hood, but he's going to not part of the Bat family. He's operating under his own way, his own terms now, which is brute force, and I don't know where it's going to go. I don't like his new costume already. But I love the fuck out of Jason Todd, so you know what? I'm going to follow that fool wherever the fuck he goes to. All right, guys, that's all I got for comic talk, comic reviews. Hope you guys liked those. I love the fuck out of those ones. Dexter Soy art. Grew up with Scott Lobdell as a writer. So or reading his writing. So definitely find those ones. Subscribe to the Comic Syndicate in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Subscribe to the podcast and share the podcast more than anything, guys. Give me a thumbs up, give me a star, whatever you guys do. But share the podcast more than anything. You guys are fucking dope, rad. I love the fuck out of all you guys. 2OC, much love to you guys. Thanks for the support as well. And again, I want to have you cats on. And actually, we need to have a meeting. But all right, guys, I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.